Okay, today's daf is Mem Dalet. I'm going to start at the Mishnah, at the bottom of Mem Gimel Amud Bet. And because there's not going to be class tomorrow because of Purim, so we'll go on into Mem Hei today, and we'll do part of it today and the rest of it on Friday. Okay, so no need to do the daf on Thursday. We'll kind of catch it on today and Friday. Rabbi Yossi Omer, we saw this mentioned earlier. It came up quoted. Now we're going to get into this. If you come across an Eliel, what should you do with it? You should grind it up into pieces and then scatter it into the wind. Or Matia Layam. Now there's a big debate about how to read this, classic grammar question. Do you read it as you're supposed to grind it up and either sprinkle it to the ruach or throw it all the little pieces into the sea after you've ground it up? Or does it mean either grind it, throw it into the, and let it go into the air, or take it whole and throw it into the yam? So there's a machloket amoraim dafka about this. Not clear exactly what he means. It doesn't actually come up in this sugya. It comes up somewhere else. But there's two possibilities about how to read it. Amru lo, they said to him, apu nasa zevel. We saw this before. If you sprinkle it up and if you crush it up and sprinkle it into the air, or even... Well, we'll talk about this matil layam after, whether it can actually be considered fertilizer or not, because you could have in theory, we'll see it later, like with the nahar, you could put it in the nahar and the nahar overflows and fertilizes your crops. So in theory, it could be that also. Shenemar lo yidbach b'yadcham u'ma menacherim. So therefore, the chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yossi and say you can't scatter it into the wind because it will... end up fertilizing and possibly even latil layam. Tanya. Now we have a braita that discusses, okay, you're going to see this first chart on the page, is this whole back and forth discussion between them, where each time Rabbi Yossi is going to say, Bahalo kvarna emar, and here's proof that you're supposed to grind it up. And Chachamim are going to say, what do you mean? You misunderstood that pasuk, and that's not what it means. Amar lahem Rabbi Yossi. In other words, our Mishnah is a short version of their machloket, which doesn't give the whole back end of this proof text, which makes sense. The Mishnah is usually pretty concise. But the Braitot sometimes have these lengthy discussions between them. Amar lahem Rabbi Yossi. V'halok far ne'amar. V'et chatotechem asher asitem et ha'egel. Okay, chet ha'egel. Et ha'egel lakachti. Right, I took the egel. V'esrof oto ba'esh. I burned it in the fire. Ve'ekot oto tachun hetev ad asher dak. And I ground up this egel that Bnei Yisrael worship. La'afar. Okay, I ground it up into dust. Vashlich et afaro el anachal hayoreb minahar. So here you have a great example that you're supposed to grind it up and just throw it into, now there's a bit of a debate here, does this mean, and throw it up into the air, but what do you mean? You get put into the nachal. But maybe the nachal is the same idea because it could also, in theory, fertilize. Amru lo, misham raya, hare omer, vayazer al pnei hamayim, vayishak et bnei Yisrael. It says, and he sprinkled it into the water, and he had the people drink the water. Lo nitkaven ela lebotkan kisotot. When he ground up the egel asahav, right, this sounds like the sota water. And as he put all the stuff into the water and made all the people drink it, there was this, we saw this midrash before, comes up in Yoma, I believe, where it talks about there's three types of people that did the cheta egel. Some were killed, some really worshipped, those were killed by Bnei Levi. Others with the second category had maybe danced before it, and they were also killed in a magefa. And the third group just stood by and smiled and kind of enjoyed what they were seeing. But there was no way to really know who did that and who didn't. So therefore, those people were judged by this water. That was the assumption. This water, determined who was part of those people or not, like the sota. Amar lahem Rabbi Yossi. V'halo kvar ne'amar. Okay, second proof text. V'gam ma'acha. Okay, you have to read the actual pasuk because it's told a little differently here, but this is from Divrei Hayamim Bet, Perek Tefa Pasuk Tetzayin. V'gam ma'acha em asa hamelech. Hesira migvira, asher astala asherah mifletzet. Okay, she made this mifletzet to the asherah, and this she was the mother of the king Asa. And Asa was a good king, so what did he do? Vayichrot Asa et mifletzta, vayadak vayisrof b'nachal kidron. So then it says he chopped her mifletzet, vayidok, right? He made a dak, he broke it into little pieces, and he burned it benachal kidron. So what does he say here, right? It says, vayidok vayisrof, in that he basically crushed it up. Okay, forget it. Okay, also burnt it, but anyway, then threw it into nachal kidron. Amarlo, so here you see, it's again like throwing it up to the ruach. Amarlo, misham raya, nachal kidron, eino magadel tzmachim. He says, what do you mean, the rabbi said, what do you mean? Nachal Kidron is not a place where crops can grow, meaning it's not going to overflow and grow your crops. Amarla, so then they say, really? Nachal Kidron, eino magadel tzmachim? This is Chachamim's answer. So now within this answer, we're going to have a question. Is that really true, that Nachal Kidron, eino magadel tzmachim? V'hatanya, doesn't it say in a braita, elu ve'elu mitarvim ba'ama v'yotzin le'nachal Kidron? Vinimkarim leganim lezevel umoalim bahem. Okay, this is talking about the blood that comes out of the korbanot from the Beit Hamikdash, right? This is the blood. The damim from the Rashi says the damim achitzonim v'damim apnimiim. Okay, the stuff that was sprinkled on the mizbeach achitzon and the mizbeach apnimi, they would spill it out, all that blood into it. They would have it go down into Nachal Kidron. So, what do they say? After the blood is mixed in there, you can sell it. You can sell the water from there. Legananim lezevel. In other words, not the water, but the... What are they selling exactly? What?
They're selling it for fertilizer.
Right. What are they selling? The...
Purchase these bloods.
The bloods, once they went into the water, maybe the dirt from the water... Okay, anyway, this, even though it has the blood mixed in from the mikdash, it says here that you can sell them, legananim lezevel, okay, for fertilizer. So first of all, what do you see here? Nachal Kidron was used to fertilize. Umoalim bahem. So they say, and if you do that, right then, one second, lav korban miyilah, de miyilah v'dam, right, but you can't get hana'ah from them. Okay, so... One second. If that's the case, then how could you sell them? Maybe it was saying they did sell them.
They sold them to gardeners for fertilizer, and
but it was forbidden.
If you don't pay for them first.
Oh, right. They would have to be podeh. You would have to redeem them. You would have to redeem it, and then to take the hekdesh off. But if you didn't redeem it, then it would be isra b'ilah. But the point is, for our purposes, that you see that they would use stuff for fertilizer from the Nachal Kidron. So what do they answer? Mekomot, yeshbo makom megadel tzmachim, v'yesh makom she'eino megadel tzmachim. There were different parts of Nachal Kidron. Some did, some didn't. So they threw the stuff, Chachamim claim, into the part that wasn't used as zevel, and the dam went into the place that was used for zevel. Okay, that's an okay answer. Not a strong, convincing one. My miflatzta, why? Now we're just on a tangent here. Why does it say in the pasuk, at the end of that pasuk, it says that Asa cut her mifletzet? What does it mean it was her mifletzet? I'm Rav Yehuda, a little bit of an unpleasant source here. Dehava maflia leitzanuta. Mafli leitzanuta. There was some miraculous leitzanut going on. Leitzanut is always bad doings. Kiditani Rav Yosef, kimin zichrut astala, vaitaniv elit lo b'chol yom. Okay, she made a statue with a min zachar, and she would have sexual relations with it every day, with this mifletzet that she created. That was the one that Asa HaMelech destroyed. Amar Lahem Rabbi Yossi. Okay, next source. So that was source number two, which again got rejected. Source number three. Valokvar ne'emar v'chiteit nechash nechoshet asher asa Moshe. Okay, this is in nechash nechoshet we know from Bamidbar, but it also comes up in Melachim Bet. In Melachim Bet it says, they carried apparently this nechash nechoshet with them all those years that Moshe made. Remember, he made it to get rid of the magefa. But what happened was it turned into a symbol of idol worship, and people were maktir to the nechash nechoshet. So it says that they cut up, they destroyed the nechash nechoshet, okay, kiteit, they broke it up into pieces. So here you see again, what did they do? They broke it up into pieces. Amar lo misham raya, harei hu omer, vayomer Hashem Moshe, ase lecha saraf, lecha mishalcha. So first he starts off and he said, V'chachamim say, what do you mean? Hashem told Moshe, make this saraf, this nechash nechoshet, lecha, okay, make it for you. So what are we darshan from lecha? Mishalcha. Lecha means, aseh lecha means it should belong to you. Now something that belonged to Moshe, If it belongs to Moshe, okay, let's say you have some item in your house and someone decides to make it into an allele, but it's yours. They can't make it into an allele. That has no meaning. In order to turn something into an allele, you have to actually own it. So they claim it was owned by Moshe. Okay, obviously he wasn't alive anymore, but they claim this had ownership to Moshe Rabbeinu. And ein adam osir davar shein oshelo. Okay, so therefore, it wasn't really a avodah zarah, and that's why they chopped it up. They really didn't need to grind it up because it wasn't really an Eliel. However, since they saw the Jews were kind of worshiping it, so they decided to cut it up into pieces. Okay, but really, it didn't need to be. Okay, and therefore, this isn't any sort of proof about anything because this wasn't even a avodah zarah. Amar lahem, last claim of Rabbi Yossi, v'halo kvar ne'amar, v'yazvu sham et atzabehem. Okay, so they left their psalim. Okay, this is with, right, what happened here? This was with David and the, I think it was the Plishti maybe, and he left their atzabehem. V'yisa'em David v'anashav. Oh no, this is, who left the atzabim? I don't remember, but anyway, David and his people carry them. Okay? Umay mashma.
The Plishtim
had left them behind. Okay, so that was it. The Plishtim had left them behind, and David and his people, vayisa'em. So what does it mean, vayisa'em? So vayisa'em generally means they carried. So how is Rabbi Yossi going to use this as proof? How is anyone going to use this, right? It sounds like they took their elilim. So how are we going to explain this? Umay mashma dahai vayisa'em David, lishna dizeruyehu. How do you know that vayisa'em means he scattered them? Okay, that's really what we assume happened. He took their atzabim, their psalim, he crushed them up and scattered them. How do we know this? Kidmutargim Rav Yosef. Okay, by the way, Rav Yosef is much later than Rabbi Yossi, so we're no longer in the Braita. The Braita, he just used this as a proof text. So obviously he understood vayisa'em means vayizraim, right? He basically scattered them. So now the Gemara is kind of commenting, by the way, how do we know this? Because we see on another pasuk where it says vayisa'em, and the translation is vayizrem. He scatters them. Kidem targum Rav Yosef tizrem v'ruach tisa'em. Okay, this is a pasuk from Yeshayahu. Okay, tizrem v'ruach tisa'em umitargeminan tazrinan v'ruach titaltalinan. Okay, so they say vatisa'em ruach tisa'em. Here they say, well, it'll scatter it, right? Tizrena, throw it up, and the ruach will scatter it, okay? Instead of, you would assume the ruach will carry it. Here it means the ruach will scatter it to a million places. So that's where we learn that that's what he means. So again, amrulo misham raya, hare hu omer, in the parallel pasuk, there's a pasuk from Shmuel, the parallel pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, we know there's a lot of parallels in Divrei Hayamim, and things are told a little differently. There it says, vayisrafu ba'esh. Since it doesn't say they burnt it and carried it, shmamina vayisa'em mamash. He says, since it says there they burnt it, and if they wanted to say then they burnt it and then scattered it, it should have said vayisrafem vayisa'em. So therefore, what does it mean, vayisa'em? You understand, chachamim say, it means they actually carried them away. So then they say, well, mikomakom kashu kray hadadi. That really makes no sense. Because once in one place it says they were burnt, and in the other place it says they carried them and took them. So what do they explain? Ki derapuna ramiktiv. Rapuna basically points out this contradiction and says, Vayomer Davi vayisrafu ba'esh, uktiv vayisa'em, lo kashya, kan kodem shabayitai agiti, kan la'achar shabayitai agiti. Okay, now they're going to say, there was this character, Itai Agiti, who comes up in the Navi, we're going to see him, and he basically joins David and his people, and the point is that Itai Agiti took it, and he canceled out, right, he was from Gat, from the Plishtim, and he basically said, oh, I'm going to make these Elilim, not Elilim anymore. Remember, we learned that a non-Jew can cancel them, in which case they then carried them. Okay, so we're going to see before Itai Agiti came, they started to burn them. Once Itai Agiti came, then they said, ah, he canceled them. Now we can actually take them and use them, right? Obviously not as Elilim, as other things. So how do we know that Itai Agiti came and joined? And that he canceled out items? Because it says, Vayikach et ateret malkam me'al rosho. He took the crown of their kings, of their king from off his head. Umishkala kikar zahav. And it weighed kikar zahav. So then they say, Umishari, how could he possibly have taken the atara? Isurei hana'aninu, it should be asur b'hana'ah. Amar Rav Nachman, Itai giti ba'u bitla. Okay, so here we see that he, the only way to understand that he took the crown was that Itayagiti must have canceled it. Okay, now we're going to have a bunch of questions. Okay, they don't quote all the psukim here, but there's all the psukim that say that Itayagiti came and he had 600 men joined the ranks of David from the Plishtim. Whole story there. So now we're going to talk a little bit about this crown. Mishkalaki kar zahav hechi matzi manachla. How could he put on this crown if it was so heavy? I was thinking if you ever... Right, the Queen of England wears it, right? There's this really heavy crown. So I was watching the show Crown, and yeah, they show how she has to practice holding it on her head because it's so heavy. So hechi matzi manachla. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, ruya lanuach harosh David, ruya lanuach harosh David. So what does he say? It was this. One second. Yeah, this interpretation means it was.
He didn't really, but it was prestigious enough to be.
Right. It was Ruyala Nuach HaRosh David, right? He actually didn't wear it. It was sort of there for show, but he never really put it on his head because that wasn't really, it was too heavy. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanin Amar, Evan Sho Evet Haitaba, Dehava Darala. It almost had like this magnetic-like thing that kind of lifted it up, okay? That kind of lifted the weight off his head. Rabbi Elazar Amar, Evan Yikara Haitaba Sheshave Kikar Kesef. It wasn't its weight was Kikar Kesef, Kikar Zahav. It was that the value, it was valued at a Kikar Zahav in terms of how much money it cost. Now we're going to hear more about the crown. Zot Haitali, okay, this is a pasuk from Tehillim, presumably David talking. This was for me, Ki Pikudecha Natzarti. Okay, meaning the crown was for me because I kept your mitzvot. My kamar, what was he saying here? Hachi kamar, B'schar Shepikudecha Natzarti, Zot Haitali Le'edut. Because I kept your commandments, this crown for me was testimony that I'm the king. My eduta, how did the crown testify that he was the king? Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Shaya minicha b'makom tfilin veholamto. Okay, where do you wear your tfilin shalrosh? On your forehead, not on your... Normally a crown would be worn on the top of the head, and that's how it fits, right? It's round, and it fits right on the head. But if you wear something on the front of your head, the way we wear a tfilin shalrosh, it's going to fall off. So there was a miracle that happened, because David kept the mitzvot, so the crown sat, he put it where the tfilin goes, and it kind of sat on the edge of his head, and it actually fit there, and that was the miraculous nature of it that caused it to be an edut. So then they ask a good question. How on earth did he put tefillin on if he had this crown right in the makom tefillin? Okay, and some people, by the way, they basically say one went, right, the crown was here, and above it went the tefillin. There's people who wear, there's tefillin of Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, and that's how they wear them, one over here and one over there. Not one next to the other, but one above, one on the forehead and one a bit above it, like it says here. Okay. Vayotziu et ben hamelech. Now they talk about in the time of, this is Yehoash. In the time of Yehoash, there was this whole thing, there was this whole rebellion that went on. They killed everybody, and the king, the Kohen saved Yehoash, the one, right? This was Ataliah, I think it was, and she killed all the family. She wanted to be the queen, but he was still there, and then he basically comes and tries to show that he's the king. So, Vayotziu ben hamelech, v'yatznu alav et hanezer ve'et ha'idut. So what does it mean, et hanezer ve'et ha'idut? Maybe you can guess where this is going. Nezer zo klila, the nezer is the keter, edut, amar Rav Yehuda amar Rav, edut hu lebeit David, shekol haro olam achut, holam to. Okay, it was basically whoever, here was the test. It's almost like the Sota test and the Egel HaZahav test. Here was the test. If the crown could fit on your forehead, basically where the tefillin go, then you knew you were Ro'oi L'Malchut. Kol she'ein Ro'oi L'Malchut ein Holam Tov. So now we're going to see who didn't the crown fit. Adoniah, right, the son of David, when Shlomo tries to rule, and Adoniah, right, at the end of David's days, Adoniah tries to take over the king. Adoniah ben Chagib mitnase lomar ani amloch. Am Rav Yehuda, am Rav. She mitnase l'holmo v'lo Holam Tov. He tried to... say I'm going to be the king, and he tried to put the crown on, but it didn't fit, and therefore it became obvious it wasn't him. Once we're already on him, we're going to say some other unrelated thing about Adoniah, the continuation, because it's just the continuation of that pasuk. Vayas lo rechev uparashim v'chamishim ish ratzim lefanav. So they say he made this rechev uparashim and these 50 people. It sounds like if you read the pasuk in a particular way, you could say he made those 50 people. So what does it mean he made those 50 people? What made them unique, and why were they ratzim lefanav? My Rebutaya, what was unique about them? Tana, we've seen this before. Kulam nitulei tchol. He took out all their spleens, because by taking out the spleens, it lets you run faster. V'chakuke kapot raglayim ayu. He did orthopedic surgery on them to make their legs run faster. So that's why it's vayas. He created, right, it's the first case of, you know, steroids in athletes. Okay.
Like we've seen it before.
Yeah. Right, like the Cinderella. Yeah.
We've seen before.
Right, with the shoe fitting. Yeah. Right.
I was thinking that the whole time. And sisters, you know, who's, and it doesn't fit them.
Right.
But we've seen this business with taking out the spleen.
Yeah, yeah, it came up before, yeah. I don't remember what context, but we definitely saw it. Okay, now we have another interesting Mishnah. Sha'al Parkolis ben Philosophus. Okay, clearly a reference to a philosopher. Okay, this is a non-Jewish guy, comes to Rabban Gamliel, Rabban Gamliel Ba'ako. Shaya Rochets b'merchat shel Aphrodite. Okay, Rabban Gamliel was bathing in a bathhouse with a big statue of Aphrodite there. Amar le k'chatu b'torat chem v'lo yidbach v'yadcham u'umam n'acherib. Right, he starts quoting a pesuk from the Torah. This non-Jew, he says, what do you mean? It says you can't benefit at all from avodah zara mipnei ma'ata rochets b'merchat shel Aphrodite. So first he says to him, Amar lo, ein meshivim b'merchats. Sorry, I can't talk halacha in the bed of merchats. I can't answer you now. And when he gets out of the bed of merchats, Amar lo, ani lo bati bigvula, hi ba'a bigvuli. Okay, I didn't come to her. Okay, meaning first it was a merchats, and then she came into the merchats. In other words, the statue was put after it was built. Ein omrim. Okay, that's number one. Number two. Ein omrim naase merchats l'noi l'Aphroditi. Ela omer naase Aphroditi noi l'merchats. It's not like we put up a merchats. It's a little connected to the first one. The first one is the order, right? In other words, first it was a merchats, then this came. But also, the merchats was not created as a place of worship for Aphrodite. Aphrodite, the statue, is there to beautify the merchats. Davar acher, third answer. Im notznim lecha mamon harbe, iyata nechnas lavodat kochavim shelcha arom ubal keri umashtim befaneha. Right. If any, people paid you money, you would never go into your house of worship naked or Baal Keri. There's a bit of a debate what exactly this means. Some people say maybe in the bathhouse people had Keri. Some people say maybe that's people went there to wash off their Baal Keri. Anyway, however, we read that. Umashtim b'fanan. People use the bathhouse to go to the bathroom. So you wouldn't do that if it was a place of worship. So this Aphrodite, Omedet al pi abiv, she's right there where everything is, you know, the sewage is. V'chol ha'am mashchinim lefaneha, and everybody just basically pees right on her. Lo ne'emar ela Elohim, et she'noheg ba mishum Eloha asur, et she'no noheg ba mishum Eloha mutar. So therefore, they're going to say here that only, I can pass that. Only if there's a god there is it asur. If people treat it as a god, but if they don't treat it as a god, it's mutar. So he basically gives them these three answers. So now the Gemara starts off with a kind of funny question. How did he even say to him when he was in the merchatz, ein meshivin b'merchatz, right? Or whatever the words were, where he said, right, ein meshivin b'merchatz. He says, I can't answer you. Sorry, I'm in the bathhouse. I'm not allowed to do that. Isn't that in and of itself a halacha? Okay, right? It's a classic question. What do you do if someone asks you a halacha question when you're in the bathroom? You can't say, I can't answer you because I'm in the bathroom, and it's usher to say so in the bathroom, that you're already teaching a halacha by saying that. Mm-hmm. So, how did he do this? V'ham Rav Bar Chana, am Rav Yochanan, b'kol makom mutar laharher, chut mibeit amarchatz mibeit akisei. Right? So you can't even be maharher divrei Torah, okay? In the beit amarchatz and the beit akisei. Here's an interesting thought. Bilashon chol amarle. Maybe he answered him in Greek or Ro, you know, whatever language it was. Okay, and it wasn't lashon hakodesh, and maybe that's allowed. But of course, that's not allowed. V'hamar abaye, dvarim shachol mutar laomram bilashon hakodesh. Dvarim shakodesh asur laomram bilashon chol. If you want to talk in the bathroom in Hebrew, but talk about divrei chol, you have no problem. You can do that. Because it's not that the lashon is what's kodesh, right? Yes, it's called lashon hakodesh, but as long as you're not talking divrei halacha b'lashon hakodesh, it's okay. But dvarim shel kodesh, but if you want to talk halacha, you can't say them in the bathroom, even b'lashon chol, or in the bathhouse. So therefore, they say, change the Mishnah. Tana kisheyetze amarlo. Kisheyatza amarlo. Emeshivim b'merchatz. Okay, as he got out of the Beit HaMerchatz, and he ignored him when he was in the Beit HaMerchatz, and when he got out, he said, sorry I didn't answer you there, but I can't talk halacha in the Beit HaMerchatz, and that's why I didn't answer you, and then he proceeded to give us other three reasons. Okay. Now we have an interesting, okay, this will take us to the end of today's daf. Amar Rav Chaim Bar Yosef Berebi, Amar Rabbi Yoshaya, Tshuva Genuva Yeshivo Rabban Gamliel Lo Toagmon. He gave him a deceptive answer. It wasn't really an answer. Vani Omer, however, I claim, Eina Genuva. Okay, in other words, what he's saying is some people claim it was a deceptive answer he gave, that wasn't really true, but I'll actually prove to you that it was true. He was actually telling the truth. So now, obviously, we're going to have to figure out, this is the second chart on the page. Okay, we're going to see there's four options. Okay, four answers to what was his deceptive response and why was it actually not really deceptive. Ma genuvte, okay, what was the genuvte? So what was the fact that was, you know, deceptive? Deka amra lo zo omedet al gabe abiv v'chol adam ashtim b'faneha. In other words, just because people are doing their thing right there and urinating, who cares? What's the difference? Rava says that Peor, if you remember, how did they worship Baal Peor? By defecating in front of them. Shemifarim lefanav, in front of the Elil. Bechol yom. Ve'eino batel. And it's not canceled because people do this, right? It's still avodah zarah. But then he says, Vani omer, eina genuva. Okay, this actually isn't, okay, so in a first glance, he says, it looks like this was a deceptive answer, because really, there are elilim that you worship this way, but what's going to be the answer? It really wasn't a deceptive answer, because zo avodatah b'kach, v'zo ein avodatah b'kach. But that's only Baal Peor, that was the way to worship Baal Peor. But if you were to defecate or urinate in front of an elil, that's not the way of worship, like Aphrodite, then it would be considered that you don't treat this like an elil. So it actually was a good answer. Amar Abai, second option. Genuv temehacha, deka amarle, ani lo bati b'gvula, v'hi ba b'gvuli. So now they say, v'hi ba b'gvula mai. What if first there was a statue of Aphrodite, and then they built a bathhouse right there as kind of, you know, a tribute to Aphrodite? So it sounds like, from what he said, it would be forbidden, right? Because he said, this bathhouse existed first, then they brought the statue, which sounds like if the statue was there and then they made the bathhouse right there, it would be Aster, but it doesn't sound like it is Aster. Because v'hatnan, avodah, there's a Mishnah that says, avodah kochavim sheyesh la merchatz ogina, nehenim mehem. Okay, if you go into a place of worship and there's a bathhouse or a gina, you can get pleasure from them, shelo b'tova, as long as, this is an interesting one, you don't go thank the priests, you know, or the comer, whatever it is, of the elil. Okay, if you go into a, let's say according to this, right, you go into a church to use the bathroom, as long as you don't go and thank the priest there again, a church is nevodah zarah, let's say, you know, whatever. Maybe there's other issues, but anyway, what they're saying here is if you go to a house of worship and you don't, you know, and you use something that has nothing to do with worship there, and you just make sure not to thank their people, then it's totally fine. But if, right, but if you go and thank them, then already you're benefiting, right? Again, it's not like you thank a random person there, but you thank the high people who work there, then it would be a problem. So basically, it sounds like if the statue was built, the merchatz was built next to the statue, and it turned into a place of worship, he'd be allowed to use the banner merchatz there as long as he didn't thank anybody. So now he says, so therefore it wasn't really the right answer. But they say, no. Vani omer eina genuva. It really wasn't a deceptive answer. Because shelo b'tovat Rabban Gamliel, ki b'tovat acherim dami. Because Rabban Gamliel was such an important person that for him to go into this news, this merchatz, even if he didn't thank the komarim, so to speak, the priest, it would still be considered as if he thanked them. Because of his prominence, it would have been an issue. Okay, next answer. Rav Shimi Barchi Amar Genuv Temehacha, Deka Amar Lo, what did he say? Zo Omedet Alabi, V'chol Adam Mashchinim B'faneh, V'chim Mashchinim B'faneh, Mai Havei. Again, they're going to talk about this urinating. It still shouldn't be a problem. V'hatnan, Rak B'faneh Yishchin, B'faneh Agirara, V'zarak B'atatsoah, Harezo Eina B'tela. I'm sorry, I didn't read that right. Rak B'faneh, Rak isn't Rak, it's Rak to spit. Okay? If you spit b'faneh, or you urinate b'faneh, okay, if a non-Jew goes to his house of worship and he spits in front of it, the Elil, or he urinates in front of it, or defecates. Okay? V'zarak b'atatsoah. Harei zo eina b'tela. It's not canceled out. Okay? Why? What's the assumption? Because today he's angry, tomorrow he'll come back and he won't, he'll still be worshiping it. In other words, people sometimes go to their gods out of anger, right? This happens, right? People get very angry, they're in a moment of anger, they'll do something, right? And the next day they're back with their gods again. So, you know, this isn't something You know, so therefore, just because people do this doesn't mean it's canceled out. Neomer ain't a genuva, but there's an obvious difference. This is why he says it's actually not a deceptive answer. Because hatam lefishata uratachale v'hadam refayisla. That was because for a moment he was angry at him, but eventually he'll go back to the Eliel. But hacha, but in the bathhouse, kol shata v'shata bezuzula kaima. Every single day people are urinating in front of her. That's an ongoing disgrace. Okay, so therefore it was a good answer. Okay, last one. Rabbar ulamar genuv temehacha deka'amarle ein orim nasem rechatz noyla afroditi. Okay, so he said again, we didn't say let's make the Beit HaMerchatz lichvod Aphrodite. We said let's have Aphrodite be in our Beit HaMerchatz to beautify the Beit HaMerchatz. Again, it's this constant thing we've seen all along, is the Pesel there for the purposes of beauty, or is it for the purposes of worship? So now he says, v'chi amar na'aseh merchatz l'Aphrodite noy, if we said the merchatz should be a beautification for Aphrodite, my Have. It still shouldn't be a problem. Vahatanya, haomer bayit zeh lavodat kochavim, kos zeh lavodat kochavim, lo amar klum, she'en hekdesh lavodat kochavim. What did he say, basically? He said, if the merchatz was created with the intent that it be for Aphrodite, so that would have already made it sanctified. Now, we know that when it comes to Avodah Zarah, okay, this is what maybe, Shari, what you were referencing yesterday, is we don't give any significance to somebody saying this is a Pesel, right? So by saying something's a Pesel, and saying this is a place of worship doesn't mean anything until what? Until people start sacrificing to it. You have to actually do an act, okay, that, you know, non-Jews come, or even, I guess, in theory, Jews could do it, start worshiping and sending, you know, animal sacrifices, whatever it might be, they have to do acts of worship in order to turn it into a house of worship. So therefore, just because they built this Beit HaMerchatz doesn't mean that it's, even if they built it as a house of worship for Aphrodite, it's not going to turn into anything until people start sacrificing things there. And obviously no one was sacrificing things there. So therefore, she'ein hekdesh lavodat kochavim, right? There's no such thing as the way we have hekdesh. You could designate something as hekdesh, right? It's the exact opposite of our thing. You say this is hekdesh, it already has kedusha status to it, just by saying so. V'ani omer ein agnuva, because nihidi itzure lo mitzra, it's true, it might not be usher, technically speaking, but noi mi'aika, and you really shouldn't go there. In other words, even, let's just say, for all intents and purposes, you're right, it's not a avodah zarah, but since they did create this, if they were to have created this Beit HaMerchatz, lichvod Aphrodite, you're better off staying away from there. In other words, it was created to beautify the Eliel, and therefore it's not a good idea to go there.
But it raises an important question. Are you allowed to go into places where there are things just for adornment? Christian places, or it's an important.
Yeah, it is an important distinction. For sure, this issue is very, very relevant in, you know, for all sorts of things. First of all, Christianity, it's a question whether it's even considered a avodah zarah or not. That would be a question. But yeah, for sure. In other words, we go see statues all the time, right? And statues are statues. They're there for beautification generally, not for worship purposes. In certain places, statues are there for worship. So, you know, it actually doesn't ever say anywhere you can't see them, right? We're talking about also getting hana'ah from them. What does it mean getting hana'ah from a statue, right? It's also a debate. I mean, I didn't look up all the halacha lamasa, but there's obviously, you know, a lot of interesting halacha lamasa here that would need researching about if you're going to temples and things like that.
There's also a very nice idea here, I think, about just because they, you know, we were there first, and they sort of polluted our environment, we don't have to run away.
So what you're pointing out, Shari, is this idea that, you know, we had our Beit HaMerchatz, and then you came and put your statue there, and that shouldn't change, right? That shouldn't change anything for our purposes, right? Which is interesting with the history part, right? In other words, we had all these things, and the Romans came and put their stuff, or the Greeks, or whatever it might be. Right, yafeh. Okay, we're going to go on to the next page, since we're not going to learn tomorrow. Okay, new Mishnah. Memhei. Hanochrim ha'ovdim et ha'harim ve'et ha'gva'ot, hein mutarin u'ma sha'aleihen asurin. Okay, we saw this before, that if people worship the mountains and the mountains and the hills themselves are mutar, okay, because they're attached to the ground, right? We learned this from this pasuk. That comes from this pasuk in Dvarim, you bet, pasuk bet, if you have the Torah or it says it there. Abet abdun et kol makamot asher abdu sham hagoyim, right? Destroy all the places where they worship. Asher atem yorshim otam. Et Elohim al haharim haramim va'al hagvaot. They're gods that are on the mountains and on the gvaot, which means the mountains themselves are not. It's only things that are on the mountains. Okay? V'tachal kol etz ra'anam. We're going to get to that at the end later. Okay? So keep that in mind. But then they say, umash alehen asurim. But anything that's on there is asur. Because what does it say? Lo tachmod. Okay, this is psila. Let's read the whole pasuk again. This is in Dvarim Zayin, pasuk kafei. Psilei Elohim titzrafum ba'esh. Okay, destroy, burn their psilim. Lo tachmod kesef ezahav alehem. Okay, don't desire the kesef and zahav that is on them. So what do you see? Anything on them is going to be forbidden. So what do they say here? They say, well, even in the case where the Elil itself is not asur, because it's the mountain, but if they adorned the mountain with all sorts of things, because the mountain was their Elil, but they adorned it with other things, mash alehem would be asur from this pasuk. Okay, lo tachmod kesef zahav alehem, because it also says, v'lakachta lecha. Okay? You can't take it for yourself. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, Elohim al harim, v'lo harim Elohim. Elohim al agvaot, v'lo agvaot Elohim. Okay, so he proves it now from the pasuk. Okay, it sounds like he's just giving a pasuk, a proof text, for Tana Kama, although the Gemara is going to say there must be a difference between them, otherwise he wouldn't be coming separately. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, we're going to learn it from the pasuk like I mentioned before, that it's Elohim al harim, but not that the harim are the gods, and Elohim al gvaot, but not that the gvaot are their gods. According to this, though, umipne ma ashera asur. So then the eitz ashera, which is also attached to the ground, just like the mountains and the hills, should be mutar. And we know the Eitz Asherah is Asur. So what do they say about the Eitz Asherah? Mipnei sheyesh tfisat yidei Adam. V'chol sheyesh ba tfisat yidei Adam Asur. How did the Eitz Asherah get there? Man planted it. Okay? So therefore, since somebody planted it, it has the hand of a person in it, rather than the mountains and the hills, which were not created by, which were not man-made. Okay, which would then say, if it's a man-made mountain, so to speak, you know, or a hill that somehow, you know, we created it from something then, and people worshipped it, then it would be problematic. Okay, but what we're talking here is about things out in nature. Things in nature basically are not forbidden, but things, right, that are totally natural, but things that are man-made or man-created would be problematic. I'm a Rabbi Akiva, third opinion here. Ani ovin v'adun panecha. I will explain and tell you right now. Kol makom she'ata motzei har gavoa v'giv'a nisa'a ve'etz ra'anan, da sheyesh sham avodat kochavim. He says, I'm going to explain this pasuk in a different way. When it says here that Moshe told them, abeit abdun et kol makamot asher avdu sham hagoyim asher atem yoshim otam, okay, now he tells them like this, et Elohim al harim haramim ba'al ha'gvaot v'tachal kol etz ra'anan. He's basically telling them not what's considered in Elil, something on the mountains and not the mountains themselves. No. He's telling them, when you get into the land and you want to find their Elilim, you're going to find them, right? It's like a game of hide and seek. Where's the best place to find them? Under the trees and on the mountains and the hills. That's where generally you're going to find the Psilim. He was kind of showing them, pointing them. Oh, go look there. Okay? And therefore he understands it differently. The Gemara starts out and says, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Hanu Tanakama. Isn't Rabbi Yossi Aglili saying the same thing as Tanakama? So now we're going to try to come up with, even though there's no basis for this in the Mishnah itself, what the differences are between them. So, Amar Rami Bar Chama, Amar Rish Lakish, Tzipui Har Kahar, Ika Benayu. Okay, so now he says, if the covering of the mountain, right, things on the mountain are like the mountain, so Tanakama Savar Tzipui Har Eino Kahar, Umitzar. So Tanakama is going to say, if you have something that covers the mountain, that's going to be considered separate, because that's exactly what he said, right? Umash alehen asurim. Okay? But if you notice, Rabbi Yossi didn't make any reference to that. So they're going to say, according to Rabbi Yossi, Aglili Savar, Sipoi Har Kehar. He doesn't make any distinction. He just says, Elohim al harim, and not that the harim are Elohim. And if the harim are an Elohim, we can infer from here that even things covering the har are not going to be considered their gods. It's going to be just like the har itself. But that's hard to say, and therefore Rav Sheshet says, Rav Sheshet Amar, Kule Ama Tzipoi Harino Kahar. No, everybody thinks that anything on the mountains is not considered like the mountain itself, and is going to be Aser. What's going to be the machloka between them? V'hacha b'ilan shenita'o ulebasof avdo kamiflugen. Their machloka is about a tree that was originally planted, not l'shem Asherah, okay, it was a tree they just randomly planted, and then afterwards they decided to worship it as an Eitz Asherah. This is why I say it has no basis in the Mishnah that this is what it's saying, but they're going to say, Tanakama Savar, Ilan Shinita'o Levasof Avdom Mutar, if you planted it originally as a tree and then later decided to worship it, it's going to be permitted. And Rabbi Yossi Aglili Savar, Ilan Shinita'o Levasof Avdo Asur. Okay, if you planted it and then later decided to worship it, it's going to be forbidden, the tree itself. Mimai, Midikatani Seifa, and how do we know that Rabbi Yossi Aglili says this? Because he says in the Seifa, Mipnei ma asher ha'asura, Mipnei sheyesh batfisat yidei adam, V'chol sheyesh batfisat yidei adam asur. Okay, so he says, right, it says at the end, right, Rabbi Yossi Aglili says that if it has to be chol sheyesh bo tfisat yidei adam asur. So now, notice he could have just said, im yesh bo tfisat yidei adam asur. He didn't have to say kol sheyesh bo. So kol sheyesh bo tfisat adam la tu yemai. The assumption is kol is coming to include something additional. My lav la tu ye ilan shenev ta'o levasof avdo. Okay, so is it not to include this tree? And as we're basically saying that he must be including something additional. It's not just the Eitz Asherah, but it's even an Eitz Asherah that was first planted not as an Eitz Asherah and then later became, later was decided that it should be an Eitz Asherah. So he basically by saying Bechol, he's including even that case. Now we're going to bring another Tana who says this. Ditanya, and as we saw, three Tanaim in our Mishnah, the Tana Kama, Rabbi Yossi Haglili, and Rabbi Akiva. But now we're going to show a fourth Tana. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer mitoch shneamar Elohim al harim, velo harim Elohim, Elohim al agvaot, velo agvaot Elohim, shomea ani, tacha kol eitz ra'anan, Elohim, velo eitz ra'anan Elohim. Right, you might have thought, basically, it makes a lot of sense that if you're going to say Harim, Gva'ot, and Eitz Ra'anan are all in the Pasuk together, then an Eitz should be the same thing. You would have thought that. Tamud Lamar, but where does he learn from that the Asherah is going to be Asher? Not because Tfisat Yad, but what does he say? Ashrehen Tisrafum Ba'esh. Okay, basically it says explicitly in a different pasuk that you have to burn the Eitz Asherah. So from there it becomes obvious, and forget about this pasuk, even if you'd assume that this pasuk is saying just like the harim, the Eitz is like the harim, there's a clear pasuk that says you have to burn their Eitz Asherah. And it's, right, we don't burn the mountain, but we do burn the Eitz Asherah. Ela tacha kol Eitz Ra'anan lamali. So then according to him, how are you going to explain that tacha kol Eitz Ra'anan in the pasuk? Ha'hu l'chid Rabbi Akiva hu da'ata. Right, that's coming for the exact right. Tachal kol Eitz Ra'anan is basically what's it for? To say where are you going to find the psalim? Okay, da'am Rabbi Akiva ani ovim v'adun lefanecha kol makom she'atam otzei har gavoa v'givah nisa'a ve'Eitz Ra'anan da sheyesh sham ovedah kochavim. Okay, so that's how he understands it. So we'll stop here for today, and on Friday we'll pick up from here and try to get through all of Mem Bavim also.